Hebrews chapter 9. We'll read one verse here to begin with, verse 22. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Now, when we look at the book of Hebrews, we know Paul's the writer, and he wrote this book to the Hebrew Christians, and many things we find in the book of Hebrews, Paul's confirming that those things that were under the Levitical law, especially in the book of Leviticus, were fulfilled in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see here in our verse, Paul says, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And we want to consider the subject tonight of cleansed by the blood of Jesus. When we see the word purge here in verse 22, the word purge has the meaning of cleansing or cleaning. And as you study through the book of Leviticus and the continuous types of sacrifices for various types of sin and also atonement, which was an annual sacrifice, and from which we know that the Bible tells us that God forbore their sin for that year. Their sins were purged. They were cleansed from year to year. And depending on what type of sin it was, there was a continuous purging in the tabernacle. And so Paul is emphasizing here that, again, almost all things are by the law purged or cleansed by blood. Now, we understand that that blood was not Christ's blood there, but it was the very sacrifices that were come, the lambs and the goats and the sheep and the bulls and birds and so forth that were brought as sacrifices. None of these things could cleanse or purge the sin debt that they or we owe God for our sin. But our sins need to be cleansed. They need to be purged in order to have eternal life. And what Paul is bringing out here is that in Christ we have that purging. Looking back up here to verse 11 of this chapter, we find he says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God to purge our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Now in these verses, we find that Paul says that the bulls of goats and heifers and ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. This was a continuous event, a continuous thing that went on under the law. But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God to purge our conscience from dead works. And as we look at the sacrifice of Christ, and we look at the his time upon the cross, and the wrath of God that came down upon him, that was the payment of our sin. He paid the price. He paid on those few hours on the cross what we couldn't begin to pay in eternity in the lake of fire. But after, when he ascended to heaven, he took his blood, his pure, spotless blood, and sprinkled it upon the eternal mercy seat, that mercy seat that was not made with the hands of man, that mercy seat which is in heaven. And he sprinkled his blood upon the eternal mercy seat. And in so doing, our sins are cleansed. They're washed. We're purified in Christ. Now the shedding of animal blood, as we said, it was repeated from year after year, and the atonement was taking place. We know that the Bible tells us that God forbear their sin from year to year. In other words, forbearance means he overlooked them. They were not purified eternally until the death of Christ and him sprinkling his blood upon the eternal mercy seat. Their sins were forbearing. When we received Christ as Lord and Savior, and the blood was applied to our souls, our sins were eternally forbearing in Christ. That record will never be brought up. We know that the Scripture tells us that he removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's put them behind his back in the deepest of the sea. He tells us here in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews that our sins will never, he will not remember our sins because of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus had to only make this sacrifice one time. Verse 12 here again says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In other words, what he's telling us there, when he had already obtained eternal redemption for us, in other words, he'd already paid the price. He had already suffered for our sins, and his blood was sprinkled to cleanse us. And that's an eternal covering. When God the Father looks down upon us now who have received Christ as Lord and Savior, he views us through the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again in verse 14 he says, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I believe what he's saying here, when he purged our conscience, every one of us who are saved by the grace of God, and if you've ever been saved, you won't forget it. I believe in our conscience, in our minds, we know that the blood of Christ has been applied to our souls. He's purged, he's cleansed our conscience. If you are still concerned about sin, you probably aren't saved. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't tell me, I'm not just saying sin is nothing. And we'll get more on that in this message. Sin is not something that we want as just a nonchalant habit in our life. But our conscience, we're aware, we know that we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot. And then looking back again in this, we see he said the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers and so forth. You know, they were a temporary. They were, God forbear their sins. And we studied on Wednesday nights a few years ago through the book of Leviticus. And those sacrifices was continuously. And they would bring those sacrifices, whatever they were, to the gate of the tabernacle, and the priest would receive them, and they would confess those sins over the head of that sacrifice. And then we know, I believe it was once a year, they'd have the scapegoat come. And the priest would carry that scapegoat out into the middle of the wilderness and let him go. And all of this was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at that scapegoat bearing the sins, of course there was two goats. One was sacrificed, one was carried off in the wilderness. It all is a picture of what Christ has done for us. It's all a picture of the cleansing blood of Christ. But they were only pictures. They weren't the actual sacrifice. Jesus Christ was. That's why he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ? How much more? We have a sin debt. If you look at our life, and we don't know how long we're going to be upon this earth, but if you would look at our life from start to finish upon this earth, we have a humongous sin debt. We owe God for that sin debt. But this one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ has covered it all. One sacrifice. He says, let's look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 for a moment. And just to get a glimpse of sin. And as we read through these examples here, I realize that not all of us are guilty of all these sins. Hopefully, some of us are not guilty. There's no one here guilty of all of these sins. But he says in verse 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Paul doesn't cover everything there, but he covers a large portion of the sins that men commit upon this earth. You may say, well, I'm not guilty of all those things. But look at verse 11. Paul says, and such were some of you. But ye've been washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. But as he says, such were some of you. And I doubt seriously that there's not one of us here that can read through these list of sins and say, I'm not guilty of some. But he says, and such were some of you. But what does he say? But you've been washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. How's that possible? By the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Christ, we can have our sin debt has been cleansed, it's been washed, we've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, He is the only one. That's the only sacrifice that God will accept for your sin. And if you repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have that cleansing. We are not guilty of all these sins that Paul lists, but we certainly cannot say that we're guiltless of all. In the blood of Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice that will be accepted. Oh, back here in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 30, Paul writes here, he says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Those last two words you see there, redemption or sanctification and redemption, we understand those are directly related to the cleansing blood of Christ. We've been sanctified. We've been separated by the blood of Christ. We have redemption. Redemption speaking of being purchased. There's so many things that were accomplished in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became the payment of our sin. He became the sacrifice of our sins. He became the cleansing of our sin. The cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. We were helpless in ourselves. We had no ability. Even today, we really don't. We have no ability for daily cleansing. It all comes through Jesus Christ. As we see in Romans in chapter 5, Romans in chapter 5, and these, I love these verses. Romans chapter 5, and beginning in verse 6, he says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And had a person one time talking about these verses, and he says, "Well, we weren't even alive. How could he say that?" Well, there's several explanations to that. God, before He spoke anything into creation, knew every one of us. He knew who was going to enter this world. He knew our sin record. And we had no ability. We have no ability to pay for one sin before Almighty God. So when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. What is that due time? It was the exact time that God decreed before the foundation of the world. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to what? To redeem us. He goes on, he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And Paul kind of puts that in human terms, as far as this world is concerned. You know, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die." And when you look at that in human terms, there may be somebody that would be willing to die in your place if you were condemned to death. You may find someone. "And even for a righteous man, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." But he says, "But God commandeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And again, that was an eternal decree. Before anything was created, God knew us. And Christ agreed in the Godhead at that time, before the foundation of the world, when we had no abilities, He agreed to come at the given time to give His life for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. and to carry that blood back to the eternal mercy seat and sprinkle it there for the cleansing of our sin debt, the washing, the purifying. When we say we're saved by the grace of God, we're saying that we have been purified. We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. There's no hope so. There's no mights. There's no maybes. We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We can shout that from the hilltops. We can shout that from the valleys. It's true. It's true because Almighty God decreed it before the foundation of the world. It is Jesus Christ who offered himself, offered his own blood, his pure, perfect, sinless blood to cleanse our ungodliness. In 1 Peter, these are, again, some more familiar verses with us. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, begin verse 18 here. He says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now, as we see this, verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." When we go back to the first Passover, when God dealt with Pharaoh to release Israel from their bondage, and God instructed Moses, you go to the Israel, go to the Jews, and you tell them to take from their flocks a lamb of the first year or a goat, without spot, as perfect a lamb as you have, and you slay it, and you roast it, and you take the blood, and you spread it upon your doorpost, in the upper doorpost, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So when we talk about the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, that blood is applied to us. And when death comes, physical death, eternal death is passed over. Eternal death has no claim on us because of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. He is a lamb without spot. He's a lamb without blemish. He is a perfect sacrifice. He's not a picture. He's not a type. He's the anti-type. He's the fulfillment of all those sacrifices that we read in the book of Leviticus and before. You recall, you go back into the book of Genesis, how many times the deliverance came and God commanded whomever it was to make a sacrifice. And when God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son of promise, Isaac, up to a mountain where I'll show you and sacrifice him, in his obedience. And Isaac was obedient also. Don't ever forget the obedience of Isaac. He was submissive. Abraham was seen as a type of Christ, but Isaac is a type of Christ there. A willing sacrifice. But as they got to the base of Mount Moriah and they start up, Isaac says, Father, and he says, yes, my son. He says, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And he says, God will provide himself with a lamb. A paschal lamb, a Passover lamb. A picture. Isaac, a picture of Christ. We see that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where Abraham believed that if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would raise him up in like figure. And what we said, behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket. God put him to the test. Amen. And when we repented and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in his finished work, we are put to the test. And we know that's working through the Holy Spirit. But it was. We were put to the test. Do we believe that Christ is the cleansing agent for our sins or not? Many don't. If they did, they wouldn't be trying to work for salvation. If they did, they wouldn't be holding on to the many things they do to try to justify themselves with God. You know, in ourselves, we could never justify ourselves with God. We can never do what is required to justify ourselves with God or cleanse our sins. But in Christ, we do. In Christ, we do. In here in 1 Peter also in chapter 2, look over just a page, in verse 21 and 22, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that justifieth, that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the bishop, or the shepherd and bishop of your souls." There in verse 24 we see something concerning our sin and the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. When the blood of Christ was applied to our soul, our sin debt was healed. You know, the real sickness in this world is sin. As a result of sin, sickness entered this world. And don't get the idea just because somebody gets sick that they've committed some great sin. That's not what I'm saying. Sickness in this world is a result of sin. Every one of us, if the Lord don't come back, will face physical death. Why? Because of sin. But in Christ, your blood, by the blood of Christ, that eternal death, because of his suffering upon the cross, that eternal death is removed from us. As we stated, as far as the sacrificial lamb, when that blood was applied, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When the blood is applied, the blood of Christ, eternal death is passed over us. Jesus loved us and washed us of our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1 and 5 tells us that. He washed us. He cleansed us by his blood. He did not wash in part, but he washed in whole. He didn't do a partial job. He did a complete job. When he took that blood, his own blood, and sprinkled it upon that eternal mercy seat, it was done. When he finished the suffering upon the cross, and he drank that vinegar, and he said, "It's finished." There's not another ounce of suffering for our sin. The blood was spread, and our sins are cleansed. They're washed. By the blood of Christ, every saint of every age on this earth. And let's look back in Revelation chapter 5. This scene is in glory. After the resurrection. And we find here in verse 8, he says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Every nation and every tongue, in other words, people from every corner of this world, from Adam to the end of whomever he shall say, everyone will be able to say that by the blood of Christ, I am here. By the blood of Christ, my sin debt was paid for. By the blood of Christ, I've been cleansed, I've been washed, I'm clean. And as we see here, we're going to sing a song saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." None of us have any right within ourselves to claim the blood of Christ. Only because He chose us, only because He called us, only because He revealed Himself unto us and gave us the faith to believe, can we claim the blood of Christ. At this time, we are cleansed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, we find John chapter 15 and verse 3. He says, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now we are clean. And further down in this chapter, in verse 13, he says, "Greater love had no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends." So when we look at the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, the sprinkling of his blood upon that eternal mercy seat, there's not a greater act of love that's ever been performed among man. There will never be a greater act than this. And we know that we are clean through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Recall in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians concerning the gospel that he'd preached unto them, that which he had received and that which they had received, unless they believed in vain, how that Christ died upon the cross according to the Scriptures, how that he arose the third day according to the Scriptures. And when we then look at the gospel overall, We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and see where God's promise to Adam and Eve after they fell that the blood of Christ would be shed for their sins. Satan would crush the heel of Christ. That's what took place upon the cross. Satan tried or attempted to destroy the promised seed. But in turn, Satan's head was crushed. He's defeated. He doesn't want the world to know that, but he was defeated. And in so doing, the blood of Christ is that which cleanses us from our sins. The shedding of blood of Jesus, as we said, is the greatest act of love that ever has been or ever will be upon this earth. How thankful we should be for the love of Christ in our behalf. You know, there's some songs that are kind of silly in a way. As you know, I heard one time, I don't, on the radio. Were we on Christ's mind or something to that? He knew everyone before the foundation of the world. There was no doubts in his mind when he came to this world what his end was. He's the only one that's ever entered this world that knew the exact time and place that he was going to exit this world. He's the only one that's ever entered this world that knew exactly what his mission was upon this earth. You know, I graduated from high school maybe 48 years ago. 48 years ago, if you told me I was going to be a preacher, I'd probably laughed at you. I didn't know what was in store for me, but God did. Christ knew. He set his face like a flint. His mission in this world was to do the Father's will. His meat was to do the Father's will. What was the Father's will? That he give his life for his people. Shed his blood to cleanse us from our sin. But we also note, as we want to look in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, something that we, as far as our salvation is concerned, we need to be extremely thankful for. That the blood of Christ was the complete sacrifice. As you remember when we started the message, we pointed out that these sacrifices under the Levitical law, they had to be repeated. Some of them yearly. Some of them continuously, depending upon what the sin was. But we find here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And the word "all" there means without exception. Without exception, he cleanses us from all sin. And as you go through verses 10 of this chapter, we know that Paul or John points out there's not one of us who lives a day upon this earth that don't sin. Every one of us sin and come short of the glory of God day in and day out. We're to confess those sins. But we know that He is faithful and just to forgive us those sins because of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. We are continuously cleansed. We're continuously purged of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, the living Son of God, His sacrificial blood is a living sacrifice for us. When we plead our sins before God. And we know that He's faithful and just to forgive us those. How do we do it? Through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ. Linda was talking to a lady who's a friend of hers just recently, and this lady and her rearing and what church background she had believes that she can be saved and lost again. And I don't try to convince anybody else anymore that if they believe they were saved and they're lost, that they're not. If they're lost, they're lost. More than likely, if they've been taught that, they probably are lost. But to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to truly know it in your heart, He is faithful and just for to forgive us of our sins. They're cleansed. The payment for those sins, the hell payment for those sins have been paid for. And His blood continuously cleanses us day in and day out. It's a wonderful salvation that we have. It's a wonderful Savior we have. And when we look at this, the overall picture, only God, the eternal being, could plan, purpose, and execute a perfect plan of salvation for us. And only the pure, perfect blood of Christ could cleanse us and continue to wash us of our sins day in and day out. And He's the only sacrifice that you can plead before God for eternal salvation. And again tonight, if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, we'd invite you to repent and trust in this finished work that He has laid down for us. Eternal salvation. Not a possibility. Not a hope so. One time, Brother Hafford Olby, and he was always telling us stories, he said that he was invited many times to preach funerals at the funeral home across from 12 Ryan. Said he was preached a funeral for somebody over there, and this man come up to him and said, "I used to be saved." He says, "I was saved for 20 years. Brother Orby says, "You were?" He says, "Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God has control of when people are born into this world and when they depart from this world?" And the man said, "Yes, I do." And he says, "Isn't it too bad He lets you live one day too long?" And that was the end of it, you know. God is in control and you're saved, you will never, ever face condemnation for your sin. The blood of Christ has cleansed it all. Thank you.